In the late 1950s and early 60s, the black and white days of television, the Friday night fights on ABC featured boxing stars pummeling one another for viewers and profit. The audience for one of those shows witnessed, live on national TV, a welterweight pummeling that ultimately beat a title holder to death. A documentary on that fight and the triumphant and tragic life of the man who won it will run Wednesday on the USA Network. Ring of Fire is the story of Emil Griffith, 6-time world boxing champion. He boxed both welter and middleweight. The documentary was directed and produced by Dan Cloris and Ron Berger. Dan Cloris joins us from our New York bureau. Welcome to you, sir.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Sure. We're going to talk about that terrible fight in a moment, but tell us first something about Emil Griffith, an excellent boxer, not a very happy man.
Well, he was a man of joy, a man with a sweet disposition, but he's been haunted by the events since 1962.
Mm-hmm. He came to this country in the 50s from the Virgin Islands, and in your film he talks about the job that led to his being discovered by his backer, Howard Albert.
That job was delivery boy first, and then I moved from delivery boy to a hat designer. One day I said to Howard, it was a hot day, and I said to him, can I remove my shirt? So that was my trouble right there, taking my shirt off.
He had a 26-inch waist and 44-inch shoulder span when he was a kid. He was a natural athlete. He never lifted a weight in his life. Emil was from a very poor family in the islands, the oldest of 8 children. They grew up separately in different homes, and he was often punished, and part of that punishment was that they would make him stand in the sun with boards and buckets over his head, with holding heavy things, and often being physically beaten.
I see. What was his professional career like?
He had a meteoric rise in the welterweight ranks. He beat all the great welterweights of the day, Denny Moyer, Luis Rodriguez, Florentino Fernandez. He could beat his opponents body punching. That causes a problem with breathing if you hit him hard enough. Mm-hmm. That's one way. The other thing that he could do is he could stay outside and move fast on his feet, not get hit, and jab, jab, jab. And when he would jab, he had a little hook that he could surprise an opponent with. And when you hit an opponent on the chin, that causes their brains to wobble. Some fighters do it on the inside, some on the out. He could do it both ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, now let us get to that all-important fight, March 24th, 1962.
Welcome to the fight of the week. I'm Don Dunphy, your ringside commentator. The scene is Madison Square Garden, and the welterweight championship of the world is at stake tonight as Benny Kid Perrette defends against Emil Griffith over 15 rounds or less.
This Friday night fight was a Saturday night in Madison Square Garden. It was such a big fight. On network television, the garden was filled with politicians and showbiz types and old champions. At the weigh-in, prior to the fight that day, Benny Perrette taunted Emil Griffith. He whispered in his ear, maricón, the Spanish word for homosexual.
Mm-hmm. But a really slurring word, just the worst possible word you could use.
At that time, the worst possible word you could use.
Yeah.
He also put his hand on Emil's buttocks. Emil lunged at Perrette. It was broken up. He was humiliated.
What do you know about Emil Griffith's sexuality? There's a column this week by Bob Herbert in the New York Times in which he has lunch with, talks with Griffith, and Griffith asks him the question, and Griffith says, no, he was not, but he has had sexual relationships with men as well as women.
I had no intention or desire, and still don't, to do a film where it's important to reveal who Emil Griffith has sex with. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about late 50s, early 60s in America, even in New York. What adult men came out? Mm-hmm. How many?
Mm-hmm. Well, and there was a period in which it was illegal, and so it would be fewer and fewer. Let's get back to the fight now, and talk to us about the way it ended, the deadly, deadly blows to the head.
This was the third fight. Griffith had won one, Perrette had won another. That's called a rubber match in sports. Griffith, this night, had been pummeling Perrette for the first five rounds. In the sixth round, after being pummeled for five rounds, Benny Perrette came off the ropes and almost knocked Emil Griffith out, knocked him down, and the bell saved him. For the next five or six rounds, the fight was even. And in the 12th round, with about a minute and 50 seconds to go, one of Perrette's arms got tied up in the ropes. Emil hit Perrette a minimum of 25 to 29 times in the head. Perrette was defenseless after five or six of those shots. He was out on his feet. The referee, Ruby Goldstein, did not stop the pummeling. When he finally did, Perrette slumped to the ground.
Perrette has collapsed from exhaustion from that beating on the ropes.
I saw this when I was 12 years old.
You saw it on television?
Yes. Yeah. And Perrette was taken to Roosevelt Hospital on the west side of New York in a coma, which he never awakened from. That was the end of the Friday night fights. When this happened, everyone from the Vatican to the London Parliament to the New York Times editorial board to every hack politician around called for a ban on boxing. Mm-hmm. The two great subjects of the day, remember I was 12 years old, should we have fallout shelters and should we ban boxing?
Yeah. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so much.
Dan Cloris, along with Ron Berger, he is director and producer of Ring of Fire, the Emil Griffith story. It will air on USA Network this coming Wednesday evening. To watch scenes from his film, visit our website, npr.org.